Welcome to Connectify Conversations. My name is Sean Topshi, and I'm the Director of Business Development at Connectify. Our mission is to share the experience, expertise, and insights from gaming industry leaders that comes from years of navigating the complexities and impact of compliance. On this episode, I am joined by special guest.
My name is Tanya Matthews, and I am the Executive Director of the Peoria Tribal Gaming Commission of the Peoria Tribe of Indians of Oklahoma.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to like and subscribe to the podcast. You can also learn more anytime at Connectify.com. That's KINECTIFY.com. Tanya, I am so excited to have you on. It's good to talk to you again. For those people that aren't familiar with you, give us a little background on yourself, kind of how you got started in the industry and where you are now.
Okay. Like I said, I'm the executive director of the Peoria Tribal Gaming Commission, which happens to be my tribe, the Peoria Tribe of Indians of Oklahoma. And I've been in the gaming industry for 19 years, 17 of those years on the compliance side. Originally started back in 2006 with the tribe on the gaming compliance side. Started literally at the bottom of the totem pole, started doing licensing first and did employee licensing for a couple of years, then moved to vendor licensing and vendor compliance. Then from there, moved to internal audit, did that for a few years, and then moved to executive director. And I've been the executive director for 11 years now.
Gosh, you really covered the majority of the areas that you can cover within the commission.
Yep. That's all of our departments right there. So. And then I also served on the other side. I served for 8 years on the government side. So as an elected official, I served in the capacity of secretary for the business committee for the tribe.
And I've always wondered about that because I've seen multiple folks in tribal gaming who kind of do have those dual roles, and that's a lot to balance, but there is some interconnectivity between them. So I'd love for you to describe that experience a little bit.
It is quite interesting to be on both sides. There are good and there are tough things with that. Obviously, being an elected official, you have kind of a different type of weight and responsibility because it's not just about the gaming compliance. You're looking out for your whole tribe in all areas. That can be a little tough at times. You really have to separate politics from the business side of it. But if you can do that, it can be great too. Knowing all sides of that and kind of having that makes it an interesting experience. You're able to be able to have the voice and the opinion on the government side that they may not. A lot of government and elected officials aren't involved in gaming. And so it was nice to kind of have that and be able to have a voice there and be able to have knowledge in that to help with the other committee members. And then on the other side of it, when you're on the compliance side, it kind of helps to know which direction, you know, your government is headed and to be able to have those conversations to know what the future is looking like or where they're wanting to go with it. So it's helpful on both sides.
And I'm glad you pointed out something there. And I think it's similar in kind of state levels, right? Where you have leadership, obviously at the government level, that's not maybe as attuned to gaming, even though that's a pretty decent chunk of the economic activity. So it's great to be able to give and share that perspective. I think we see this, especially as we see sports betting rolling out in so many states, you have government leaders making so many decisions about sports betting. And then you see these councils and committees appointed where they don't necessarily have sports betting or any kind of gaming experience. And it makes it a very tough situation for there to be collaboration and communication between the businesses and the governments. In this case, I think with tribes, it's a little bit more common where you do have folks that have maybe been on both sides. And I think that probably helps facilitate more fruitful conversations and better paths moving forward. There's another part of your experience that I want to get into, though. Obviously, Oklahoma doesn't have sports betting, but, you know, I suspect you'll have some unique perspective. So I'd love for you to talk about being a combat sports judge.
Yes, that is the other side of a role that I carry. Yeah, I am a professional combative sports judge for the state of Oklahoma. I also help with some neighboring states and then some also some tribes that compact with the tribe rather than the state. So yeah, that's a whole different ball game over there, combative sports.
You said something there that some tribes compact with the state. Are you implying some tribes run their own combat sports judging versus some tribes actually partner with the state?
Yes. So my tribe, so Peoria's, we partner with the state. So we have a compact with the state. And so any of our combative sports, they regulate it. They're the ones that run it for us. But a lot of tribes actually have their own commissions. One of the bigger tribes in Oklahoma, the Chickasaws, they have their own, it's their own combative sports commission. And so they handle all of that regulation when it comes to hosting fights of any sort.
And then, so you are you're a judge for the state of Oklahoma, and
Yes.
so for is it just particularly for tribes who compact with the state of Oklahoma? Those are the fights that you do judge?
No, it's so when so the judging for the state is anybody all across the
Okay.
state. Yeah, it doesn't have to do with tribes.
Interesting. Okay. With that, obviously, we don't have sports betting in Oklahoma yet, but you have such a unique lens that I think most people don't. Between obviously one, you're in gaming, you're on the commission side, on this regulator side, but you also have this very intimate view into at least one type of sport with combat sports. And so I'm curious if you can talk a little bit about the current landscape of potential sports betting legislation in Oklahoma, and then would really love to get into your regulatory perspective.
Okay. Yeah. So obviously, you're correct. We do not have sports betting in Oklahoma yet. There is a lot of talk about it. There has been for a couple of years now. We're hearing more and more that that it will be or supposed to be back on the ballot for this next year, for this year, this coming year. There is a lot of talk about it. There's a lot of task force being created by organizations, OTGRA. I know they're creating one. I believe OIGA is also creating one, but it's to talk about sports betting in Oklahoma and to talk about how tribes can get in front of that and be ready for it whenever it is or whenever it does come to pass. Because we think that it will. With all of our neighboring tribe, or I'm sorry, not neighboring tribes, neighboring states doing it, we definitely think that it's coming to Oklahoma. We're just not sure when and lately not sure how. Recently, the governor has announced that he has a sports betting plan. And with that, he did not consult with any of the tribes, didn't speak to anyone about it. And the tribes are we're the ones that have the compact with the state. So it's been interesting to see him not even try to communicate with tribes who are the ones that are doing gaming in the state. So that's been quite interesting. We are trying to make sure that we're ahead of it, trying to kind of band together and try to make the best that we can with regulations that we've never had before. A lot of us are thinking that if we can create these task force and these committees beforehand, that will hopefully be able to make the rules across the state at least the same when it comes to tribes, because there's going to be a lot that you're seeing of tribes not sure whether they want to be the host for some sports betting or if they want to join other tribes and try to make it to where it's not or maybe more cost effective whenever we do decide to bring it in. So there's just a lot of talk about it right now and a lot of uncertainty, especially with the governor not doesn't seem to be playing nice with the tribes right now.
It's shocking to see that's happening in multiple states. Obviously, California comes to mind as well, right? Two states that are just juggernauts when it comes to tribal gaming, and juggernauts when it comes to their economic development efforts within the state, with everything they do for the states. And unfortunately, we have politicians not really working with the tribes at all when it comes to these measures that the tribes are going to be directly involved in and should definitely be stakeholders. Are these task forces that you're talking about, is part of what they're doing trying to get in on those conversations and collaborating at the political level, or is it more so focused on the business side of things for if and when it happens?
There's definitely two parts to that. One organization is more on that political level, and we have a great chairman, and he's making sure that he's in those conversations and that we're definitely involved and that it's not being missed, that tribes sit at that table. And then we have the other organization that is more geared toward making sure that we have the correct rules and regulations in place and making sure that we understand the ins and outs of sports betting and that we can do our best to protect our tribes. Because that is one thing that I don't know that people realize is that, like, obviously tribes each have their, or not every tribe, but at least here in Oklahoma, there's obviously a lot of competition. Most tribes have their own facilities, their own casinos. And with that, they have to have their own gaming commissions. But that's one thing that's for sure about Oklahoma is that our gaming commissions here, well, really all over the United States, but for sure in Oklahoma, our gaming commissions here, we work together. We reach out to each other all the time. We are truly all trying to just do our best to protect all of Oklahoma, all of our tribes, all of our patrons, every part of it. So that is one thing I do think that is amazing and unique about Oklahoma is that we do work together. So, like I said, the one task force is about tribes just coming together to collaborate and to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we can all do our best to protect Oklahoma.
That's something I really have noticed with Oklahoma gaming and gaming commissions in particular. I even just last week was having a conversation with one of the tribes in the South, and they're looking at potential cloud technology. And they obviously they've got questions, they've got concerns from a sovereignty standpoint. They know other tribes in the state have done it. Happened to be having a conversation with one of those other tribes who was already on the cloud. And brought it up, and immediately they're like, "Oh yeah, great. Let's get you in touch with the executive director of the gaming commission, and then let's just set up a conversation with them." I didn't even have to suggest it so much as they were just so open to the idea of this kind of information sharing, which with other tribes, which is it's fantastic to see. Honestly, I love seeing that level of collaboration, especially not being on a gaming commission, but coming from a compliance side. I like that aspect of the industry quite a bit. That even though there is obviously competition, right? We want our casinos, so to speak, to do the best to be successful. There's this measure of protecting the industry and protecting the tribes and protecting the community that comes in with these compliance and commission roles. And it's very strong in Oklahoma. So it's good to see that. And I'm glad you brought that up. One other piece that you mentioned in there that I thought was interesting is you were talking about some tribes possibly banding together when it comes to sports betting. And that's, I'm not sure I've seen that before. So I find that interesting. We do see where either smaller commercial locations or tribes maybe aren't comfortable in other states, right, running their own sports book. And so maybe they like outsource it through some market access agreement to some large commercial operator, right, that's done it multiple times. But I'm not sure I've seen kind of a, what is the word I'm looking for right now? Gosh, I'm struggling. But a group of businesses or a group of tribes banding together to possibly create, whether it's an entity or some kind of consortium to help reduce the risk, manage the cost of sports betting. But that really interesting idea. I don't know how developed that idea is, but if you could get into that a little bit, I think that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I think that it's just been kind of all options on the table, trying to just look at the landscape of what it would be in Oklahoma. I know that has been conversations, and I don't know that it's gone any further than just that, but I know that the idea was brought up at one of the last meetings I was at that, well, if we're going to have to fight for this against commercial gaming, then we do need to band together and we do need to create something that will still protect the tribes and still be beneficial to the tribes. And obviously we really don't know what the governor's plans are. Like I said, he's talked about his own sports betting plan that has nothing to do with the tribes, and that's just a landscape that we've never been in before. So I think all options are on the table. I think all ideas are being thrown out just to see what's going to be the most beneficial for everyone.
Okay, yeah, that makes total sense. And so it also sounds like it's kind of a response to this idea that commercial operators would possibly be allowed into the state, whether through market access agreements or some other measure that the governor wants to introduce. I don't know if that gets into violation of the compacts and things like that. That's a little above my head with legal background, but it's interesting seeing the conversation evolve with sports betting really starting to come up so frequently, and with it possibly being on the horizon. I would like to talk about a particular area of compliance, again, is especially with your background as a combat sports judge. In the United States, betting integrity is a huge part of sports betting compliance, right? And we see the news articles of whether it's athletes or coaches betting on sports, whether it be on their teams or not. It's a big focal point of the compliance aspect of it. And you actually are in a role which I imagine is at the epicenter of sports integrity and sports betting integrity. I would just be curious to hear your view on it as you've started to look at it and how, if it impacts your role, if sports betting were to come to Oklahoma.
I would think that it would in a way. I would assume that it would be similar to, obviously, most commissions don't allow their gaming commission or their staff employees to bet in their own casino or play games in their own casino. So I would assume that maybe it would take on that type of role where if you were an official, the state, or you were an official, kind of maybe not so much just with the state, but if you were an official of that sport, that you wouldn't be able to gamble on that sport. To me, that would make it the most safe. Now, I don't know if that's even possible, but I would assume that would be the only way that you could really try to help with integrity, other than just people being good people. I don't know how else you would that you would avoid things going wrong there. I don't even really know how else to think about that, other than you would just have to. It's not here yet, so it's kind of hard
Sure,
to know
of course. It
how
is
that'll look.
a little speculative in that sense. I think you hit the nail on the head though, right? Typically in that if you are involved in that way, shape, or form, full ban from any kind of betting on that sport, which I think we've seen in the NFL and things like that, even if you're not betting on your team, hefty suspensions and fines can follow you betting on any game that involved any team in the league. And I think I've never looked at it from the judge's standpoint before, but I would imagine there has to be something similar in place. And those, I gotta imagine those rules are starting to get discussed at least.
Oh yeah, I would assume, 'cause I know for me, like whenever I'm getting ready to go judge an event, for me personally, I don't want to know anybody on the card. I don't want to know any names. I don't want to know anything, just for my own sake, for my own mind. I'm just like, I don't want to know what their record is, or be able to have any type of preconceived idea in my mind of who I think's even going to win. I try not to even put myself in that position.
That's so interesting because for any kind of sports fan, right? You're especially if you're a sports fan and a sports bettor, right? You're researching the teams, researching their records, researching how they do against this team or this conference or when traveling to this geographic location, East Coast versus West Coast, those kinds of things. For you as a judge, you want almost, I don't want to say knowledge, but as little knowledge as possible to have as little bias as humanly possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't want to know the gym they're from. I don't want to know coaches. I don't want to know anything.
And that makes total sense when you say it. It has to be so hard in this day and age where like information just comes out all the time on our phones, on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever you're on. And if and when sports betting hits Oklahoma too, every state that we've seen sports betting in, the amount of commercials, the amount of ads on any form of media hitting you with what the betting lines are and who's favored and things like that. I can only imagine how much harder that's going to make your job to just blinders.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you literally cannot look at your phone no matter what.
Well, you've certainly got your work cut out for you if and when that does hit, both on the casino side and on the combat sports judge side. So best of luck to you there.
Thanks.
One area that I want to switch topics here that is really interesting to me just because Oklahoma is such a rich tribal gaming state, right? You've got, I think, 33 tribes with over 140 plus casinos. That information may be a little dated. There's got to be a wealth of information sharing potential there, and especially around things like vendor licensing and due diligence compliance, right? It's a
Oh, for
lot of you
sure.
have to see a lot of the same vendors, and there's got to be a lot of duplication of labor if there is an ability to share information. So I wonder if that's been a conversation either with OTGRA or informal conversations and what that kind of looks like.
Yes, there has been conversations, multiple conversations actually, because it is with the vendors, it is a lot of information that they have to prepare for each of us, because each tribe has their own gaming commission, and with your own gaming commission comes your own applications and processes and all of that. There hasn't, to my knowledge, been any movement on it, but I know that there has been some discussion and conversation about maybe streamlining that process for even if we started with just vendors. Now, employees, that's a little bit different, but with vendors, we do. We all share the same vendors, and those vendors have the same techs. They have the same principles. It's time consuming on both sides. And with that, we've heard back from vendors that get a little frustrated because they may have this 40-page document with one tribe, and then they come to our tribe and they've got a 20-page document, same information, or we may want them to send us their packet a certain way. Maybe if it's could be even as simple as printing it front and back and mailing it, whereas other tribes want it digital on a thumb drive. And it just gets a little, I think, overwhelming for the vendors to have to try to make sure that they're doing it exactly right per tribe when there's not one tribe that is the same. There's not one tribe that, yes, we all go by, we all generally have, the same set of regulations as far as what we need, but each tribe can do things however they want beyond the minimum regulations. Whereas the minimum may be we need three references, but my tribe decided, well, we actually do better in our area with five references. So it's been a little all over the board, unfortunately, for the vendors on trying to figure out what the regulation is, tribe and per casino. And then, you have that mix with just anything else that they need, because these vendors are all over the United States. They're not just in Oklahoma. So you have them struggling with what does Oklahoma need? And then on top of what does Oklahoma need? What does each tribe need on top of what Oklahoma needs? And then that versus any other state that's completely different. So there has been a lot of conversation about maybe seeing what we can do, even if it's just for the tribes in Oklahoma, for what we can do to try to help streamline that process and try to make it to where at least if you're coming to Oklahoma and you're going to be a vendor, this is exactly what you're going to need for every single tribe, to where it's a maybe one application and they can just send it out and it's going to be the same information. And I do think that would help both sides. I think if every vendor compliance department knew this is exactly what they were looking for, it was the same form, there's no changes, they don't have to look anywhere else for it, I think that would help that side of it too.
I mean, there definitely seems potential for dual benefit, like you're talking about, right? Obviously, standardized form ultimately going to make it easier for the vendors, right? If they can use the same form every time, then they're not rebuilding the wheel every time they're doing this. The other aspect that I think can be really beneficial to the tribes, and I don't know if there's information privacy issues associated with this, if those have come up and it's been the topic of conversation. But if a vendor has applied somewhere, right, gotten approved and everything by the tribe, obviously, if there was a standard information form, the ability, whether it's through some kind of consent that the vendors sign to share that information amongst tribes, whether in a database or through some kind of just request mechanism, so the tribes have a level of comfort. Okay. They filled out the same form. These references all got checked. We can use this information to an extent. As the Gaming Commission, we're not having to rebuild the wheel every time. We're not having to do the full-blown investigation every time, as long as these applications came in with an X time period, so we know they're still relevant. Are there some of those information privacy issues? Have those conversations come up on that kind of side of things? Because it's not just the company that you're looking into, right? Like you said, you're looking into the principals. If there's specific requirements for techs or other key positions, you're looking into those people within the company as well.
There is that type of system for employees, not only through just different programs from vendors, but also the NIGC actually has a program that you can check to see if they were licensed with other tribes. And then they even keep that file to see if there's information that can be shared. And then with each employee and even with each vendor, everyone signs a release, because there are certain parts of it that we do reach out and do checks on, like for their license, just kind of exactly what you said, for those vendors that are licensed other places, we do check those licenses with those other commissions. Now, we are still having them do our application and all the forms for us, but we are able to at least check that with other commissions and see if they've had any red flags with them and that kind of thing. So there is kind of that, but
Okay.
not in like just one full system. I think like what you're discussing, that would be great if we could. And like I said, I know there is that for employees, but it's just a little bit different for vendors. At least no one has, to my knowledge, has created that for that
Sure.
system.
I think it kind of comes back to being able to first streamline what the application looks like from tribe to tribe.
True.
If you could even get, again, what are we talking, 30, 33 tribes with gaming operations? If you could
Right.
get all tribes, all gaming commissions to agree to it, or even a majority, I still think if there's at least a majority, there's still a huge benefit to be had.
For sure, for sure.
As it sits right now, is that like an active initiative, or has it been more of just ongoing conversations?
It's been just an ongoing conversation. I think that the sports betting stuff has kind of took initiative over any other conversations
Sure,
at the
of
moment.
course.
But I do know that it's something that several tribes have shown interest in and have said that they wish that there was an easier way. I think that it will happen. I just think that it's kind of got put on the back burner right now.
Makes sense. Changing gears a little bit. Yeah, I would like to talk about your actually specific role with your gaming commission and with the casino that you oversee. Right now, are there any new technology services or games the casino has implemented recently or is looking at implementing? Obviously, there's so many casinos looking at things like cashless payments and things like that. And if so, how do you kind of go about evaluating these new products and services? And what does that process really look like for you guys?
So right now, there's not really anything new that I can think of that they're looking at right now. But typically, whenever there is something like that, whether it's like you said, cashless or whatever the system is, usually we'll get a good preview of those at trade shows and conferences, and there will be discussion about what's upcoming and kind of what the new stuff is, or what kind of things are going to make it easier on. Whether it's our patrons or our staffs, we see those a lot at conferences, at trade shows. If our casino staff goes out and they go to one of those and they see something, they'll come back and talk to me about it. They usually bring some information about it. We usually have a call, but really it just comes down to just making sure that there are regulations in place for it. If it's something that we can accommodate, we do. And then that ties back into reaching out to other commissions. That's one thing I always task my people with is I just say, well, let's find out where's this vendor at? Who are they with right now? Let's find out how it's going with them. Let's talk to that commission. Let's find out if they've been good to them. And you get to talk about that process with people that are actually doing it. And that's helpful because kind of like you said earlier, try not to reinvent the wheel if you don't have to. And
Sure, of course.
Luckily, like I said, there's truly not just in Oklahoma are commissions willing and wanting to work together, but it really is all across the US. I have contacts all over in all kinds of states that are more than willing to share their ideas, their process, however it is, because they know that's what we're all trying to do. We all have the same goal. We're all still trying to protect our people and be
Sure.
successful. So anytime that there is stuff like that, luckily we have this amazing network that we can reach out to. So that's kind of how we do it here. If it's something that after we get past a certain, like we've done the research on it, we've had the calls about it, they will submit a formal request to me that states what they want to do and why they want to do it and what needs to be brought in and the cost of it. And they'll submit that to us for our review. But usually just the first part of it is just general conversation, just with everyone.
So let's say, since obviously I'm with a technology company, we have a fairly new technology. What happens if something is just really new, for example, right? Like a cloud AML software, right? Or Microsoft's rolling out what they call this sovereign cloud that allows the tribe to maintain sovereignty over their data, even though it's in a cloud environment and wouldn't be on tribal land and trust. Where there's not maybe references, you can call it. And this really is a little bit, I don't want to say reinventing the wheel, but dealing with something that's fairly new. Has, in your work with the tribe, have you done any of that yet where you guys are trying anything for the first time? Or if you were to consider it, how does the evaluation change then?
You really just have to have those conversations with leadership, and you have to just weigh your risk. You have to do the pros and cons of it, and just really consider really how much you want it. That really, at the end of the day, that's what you're doing. You're weighing the risk, and you're doing the best that you can to protect everyone that you can, and you just kind of go for it and just hope that you're the good example of that.
There is always a little bit of risk, right? Being the first one to market with something like that. So it's a scary thing that I think we found when talking with a lot of commissions, and not just commissions, but the casinos. Being first, especially at smaller operations, right? It's you don't generally like to experiment as much. You want something that's proven and tried and true. There's now it's just interesting, and I always like to ask that question because there's so many new technologies being introduced, right? Between, like you were seeing, tribes roll out like on-premise mobile gaming and all of the different features that there are with that, and cashless wagering and all the different features that there are with that, all kinds of new different cloud and AI technologies coming into place. And so I feel like those requests for reviews of new products and services are only going to increase as the years go on with just the rampant explosion of technology, like it seems there's been in the gaming industry.
No, absolutely.
Tanya, it's been great having you on. If there's nothing else that is just a burning desire in your heart to talking about, really enjoyed having you on for this conversation.
I've enjoyed it. It's been fun.
Thank you so much, Tanya. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks again for joining us today on Connectify Conversations. You can support our show even more by leaving us a rating wherever you download your podcast and by sharing Connectify Conversations with gaming industry leaders like yourself. Visit Connectify.com to learn more. That's KINECTIFY.com. Until our next conversation, always remember to minimize risk and maximize your efficiency.